Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across this great country. We just finished the Pennsylvania purgatory. That leads into the Los Angeles lockdown. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, alongside my sidekick, my partner in crime, Mark Heffernan, 347-205-9631. You can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms powered by Mancini Media. Next week will be an archive show. It's Father's Day anniversary, so we'll reconvene on the 27th so you can get this thing live, loud, and clear. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand over the mic. First of all, Mark, how are you? Second of all, how can you be reached? Third of all, guys did a Texas two-step this weekend in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of a stomach ache today, but I'm doing better. And it's beginning to get hot in Bakersfield. It's going to get scorching from Thursday through Saturday. We're talking about 109 or 110.
Wow.
And today it's in the upper 90s. So we had great weather for about 4 days, but it's getting back to normal. So I'm not looking forward to the 100-plus temperatures. I like in the upper 80s and 90s, but not when it's 110. Besides that, I'm doing fine. And people can email me at sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. Go Dodgers! Open up the ballpark June 15th. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you took advantage of a lot of stuff. The Pirates, are struggling of late. They've lost now 7 in a row. You won 3 in a row in Pittsburgh. You beat them 13 straight, dating back a few years. You didn't see them last year, but streak is continuing. And now you got the Rangers that came in, and you beat them handedly on Friday, 12-1. You lost that same score yesterday, 12-1. You won today, 5-3, behind Walker Buehler and Mookie Betts hitting a home run. So now I think you're going to start to play somebody the next three. The Phillies are coming in. Phillies are coming in hot, 7-10, just swept the Yankees. So you're right, the ballpark will be open. It's going to be interesting. Then you'll get the Sisters of Mercy after the Phillies leave town. You'll get the beat up on the Arizona Diamondbacks before you play the Padres and the Cubs.
Well, the Angels are playing the Diamondbacks right now. There's a lot of weak teams in Major League Baseball, though. There's a lot of pathetic teams. And there's not one great team in the league. So, you just play whoever they schedule you with. So I'm not impressed with most of the teams in MLB. I'm not impressed with most of the teams in the NBA, to be honest with you. There's a lot of bad teams in both sports. I don't like to watch bad teams playing any sport. I don't care if it's high school, college, or pros. I'm not that much of a fanatic where I got to sit around and watch two scrubby teams play for 3 hours. I work out and do something else on my mind. If my team's not very good, I'm not going to spend as much time watching them. That's just the way I look at things. So does that mean I don't like sports? No. But I'm not in that case where I have to watch. Well, you think I'm going to watch a team that's 25 games under 500? I don't really like baseball or basketball that much to watch a scrubby team. And that's how I look at things. I mean, these fanatics out there who think their team has a chance to do something when right now they're 25 and 40. Got news for you. They're not doing anything this year in baseball. They're pretty much finished if you have a record like that. Or if you're 25, you're done.
Here's the thing, and as far as I'm looking at my Pirates, and they're struggling. They're probably 17 games under 500, 14 and a half behind the Cubs and Brewers. But let's look at the division from top to bottom. It's a tough division. I mean, it's been a tough division the last few years, and the Pirates. There's a long-term plan in Pittsburgh, and maybe people don't understand the long-term plan. But, they held the Dodgers close in the three games. Could have gone either way, and with a little luck, the Pirates probably would have made the Dodgers walk the plank. We saw Kenley Jansen, have a second birthday. Usually you get one birthday a year, but he had two. When he had that shot line back to him to end the game on Tuesday by Ke'Bryan Hayes. So, I'm not looking at the Pirates and saying, this is a team that's bad and hasn't done anything. I'm looking at it as growing pains. And you're right. There's some teams that are just playing bad. I mean, the Arizona Diamondbacks are just playing bad. They're terrible. They can't win on the road. The Angels are hammering them. And here's a team, when you look at the Dodgers, you know, let's face it, the rest of the division is caught up to these guys. The Padres have caught up to them. They're not in fearful of the Dodgers. They got some swagger. The Giants now are not fearful. You know, Colorado and Arizona are punching bags this year. But, you know, the Dodgers are finding out that those two teams are going to probably be there the whole year unless the Giants kind of do a nosedive there. But the Padres aren't going away, my friend. These Padres are going to go neck and neck with the Dodgers. They got the pitch in. They will do whatever it takes at the trading deadline, whether they're bringing another arm or whether they're bringing another bat. And don't forget, they're picking up a pitcher next year that they lost this year in Mike Clevinger. So, you know, the Dodgers have won 8 division titles and all this other stuff. The window of opportunity is coming to a close real fast, and you're already seeing it with guys like Bellinger that are, you know, hobbling around with injuries along with Seager and now Muncy. I don't see the Dodgers really getting far, even if they get to the playoffs. Not really impressed with the starting pitching because I just think that there's more teams with a little bit more swagger. You're seeing what's going on in New York with the Mets. The Phillies are out there, the Cubs and Brewers. And now after, you know, the Phillies come in here, the Dodgers, like I said, will go to Arizona, and then they'll come back. They'll get the Padres and the Cubs, and then we're going to really find out, you know, as we head into July, what this team is capable of doing.
Well, the Dodgers will be fine. Like I said, there's not a great team in Major League Baseball, so nobody will impress me that much. The Cubs are a good team, but I don't think they're awesome. And the Phillies are not an awesome team just because they beat the Yankees. The Yankees haven't been winning at all. I looked at their stats. They haven't been winning at all the last 3 weeks. I'm not that impressed with those teams like you are. And so the Dodgers are okay, nothing great, but you don't have to be great to win Major League Baseball in this year. You just have to play your best ball when it counts at the end. As long as you're close, you're within a game or two of first place, or you're winning the division, you have a chance. So you don't crown a champion in June. So a lot of these teams that are playing well right now, will they be there like the Giants? Will they be there in September? And the Padres actually hit the ball today. They haven't hit the ball at all. I mean, Tatis has been great every game, but I've looked at their stats and their averages. Why do you have a 230 hitter batting cleanup in your line like Bam? They were better when Tatis Jr. is batting leadoff than he is batting cleanup. Now, the pitching's been great. The Giants' pitching's been great. The Mets' pitching has been great this year. The Dodgers a little bit up and down. But, you know, the thing is, you can't declare a championship in June. None of these other teams have been in the World Series recently. So I think it's nice to be motivated and to have confidence in everything, but it's still very early. You play 60-some games at this point, so I don't get too excited one way or the other. I think the Dodgers will get better. Muncy will be back. Seager will be back. Bellinger, who knows about him? I don't think they should re-sign him after next year if he continues to be on the mend. They said he'd play today, but that he didn't. Has a little hamstring problem. He's got too many issues. And the thing is, with me, you got to be on the field. You got to be on the field. You got to be on the court to be valuable to your team. You're making a lot of money. You're playing half the games, and I say, you go. We got to release you. We want guys that play. You don't have to play every game, but you should play about 85 to 90% of your games during the regular season. Otherwise, you're not helping the ball club. That's MLB, NBA, or NFL. If you can't be on the field or on the court half the time, you're no good to me as a general manager. I don't really care who you are, how much money we're paying you. You're not helping the team win if you're in street clothes during the season. You'd be in street clothes during the off season, but not during the season.
No, you're right. You know, and breaking it down like this too, Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs came out this last couple days. He's been totally against his vaccine. I know Major League Baseball is trying to get, you know, all their ball clubs to the 85% mark here. But he's taking a stand. He's really not comfortable with taking it. We saw a nurse in Texas, you know, refuse to take it and filed a lawsuit, and it was upheld in court. This is going to be interesting to see how this battle subsides down the line. I truly believe we live in a country where, you know, there's rules and there's laws in place. Plus there's, you know, a constitution here. So, there's a lot of people that can't take this shot, whether it's, you know, they're allergic or whatever, but, I think to force people to do something, I think it's going to be a battle for the courts. What's your thought on Anthony Rizzo's comments about not taking it right now? And what's going on with the country with this thing?
why isn't he taking it? What are his reasons for not taking it? Is he afraid, or he doesn't think it's going to do him any good? I'm just curious what his reasons are. Are they political?
Well, I guess that's what the thing is. He wants to see more knowledge and expertise of it before he wants to take it. That's you know, what his prerogative is, I guess.
Knowledge and expertise from who? Dr. Fauci? And those people that change their mind every 2 months? Come on. I don't know. I got vaccinated twice, and I'm pretty hard-headed, so I got it out of the way. So I have to think about it every week. Somebody's going to ask me, have you taken it? Have you not taken it? I didn't really want to go through that BS for, you know, a half year as to whether I'm going to take it or I'm not going to take it. What are my reasons for taking it? What are my reasons for not taking it? I just took it. Got it out of the way. I got other things in life more important than whether I'm going to take the vaccine or whether I'm not going to take the vaccine. That's where I stand. I got other things
well,
in life.
Well, and not only that, I mean, I understand. Right. I understand where people's views are on this. I mean, let's face it, 52% have taken it. So there's 48% that don't want it. So I don't know. But and besides Rizzo here, we're living in a state where they're trying to give us $1 million, trying to give us, you know, Dodger season tickets, Rams season tickets, you know, Lakers season tickets. You know, if this drug is cranked up to be and everything, then why are you trying to give us something? Let the thing play. You know, it's kind of like a business. You know, if you own a business and you're running down the street and everybody in your, you know, realm of businesses have a certain price and you're giving away the product, you know, $90 cheaper, well, something I'm going to scratch my head and wonder why you're giving it away that much cheaper when 9 out of 10 businesses across the board are pretty much, you know, keeping the price up there. So what's with your product that you're trying to peddle me, you know, to save a little money on? There's got to be something there. I'm going to wonder about it. And that's the same thing with this vaccine. And if you're offering me a lot of money and you're offering me these season tickets, there's got
to
be something there that you're not telling me.
How many people want to pay taxes in this country? Do 100% want to pay taxes? Well, eventually they do, whether they want to pay them or not. And maybe another year, and maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. Maybe my brother owed taxes for like 5 or 6 years.
Right.
And the IRS really slaps you with you know, the extra fees.
Well, we're not
like,
yeah, but I understand about taxes. I understand about polio vaccines and all this other stuff, things that we were brought up with, we were born with. You know, we had to do. It was just part of the thing. You know, it's up there with please and thank you. But something that hasn't been out this long, you know, people, you know, they got opinions on it. And, you know, it's kind of like sports teams. You know, you might like a certain team. That guy might like a certain team. The other guy might like a certain team. It only becomes a problem when you stand here and shove it down the guy's throat that he has to like the team that you like, or he has to like the movie you like, or he has to like the same food you like, or maybe he has to like the same country you have to go to or like. And it doesn't work that way. Everybody should have their own say on something to a certain extent. Now, from what I'm hearing is if you've already had the shot, you can't, you're protected. So I don't see what the big deal is across this board here if a guy's using a mask and he doesn't want the shot. But, you know, who knows? And we've got a load of listeners chiming in on this one. What's your take? And I'll bring some of these listeners' questions.
Go for it.
Well, Bill,
I understand what you're talking about there. People have their own opinions about things like this, and government should not shove it down their throat as to how to believe to take it or not to take it. But I've heard, you know, different opinions on both sides, and
right.
And I just told some of the people, whether they're extreme left or extreme right, relax for a while. It's not a political move by myself, whether I take it or not.
Bill
so
from Sparks, Nevada, listened to us live, and he said, hey, listen, if that's Rizzo's stance on it, so be it. I've heard him and Javier Baez have had comments going back and forth on this. Baez is an advocate of taking the shot. Rizzo just doesn't want to take it now, so be it. And that's how it should be. You know, I mean, you're never going to get everybody to agree on something.
Yeah, but how does it affect other players on the ball club?
Yeah, great question.
Well, that's my whole point. It's fine to have your own opinion one way or the other, but how does it affect other guys in the ball club? Do they want to be around you if you haven't taken the shot? Or is it cool with them? You got 25 guys on the team on a major league baseball.
Well, also, you know, we have a country where there's HIPAA laws, too, in the medical field. You know, you don't ask people, you know, what they can and can't do. I mean, I think it's going to come down to, if it gets pushed, you know, to the point, I think people are just going to start their own businesses and do their own thing and, you know, walk away from this other stuff. I think that's where it's going to head. I think if you get some of these companies that start pushing it, people are going to take a stance on this. That's the way. But it's an alarming trend if this thing has been going around for a while and you're trying to offer stuff and only 52% of the country's got it. You're still 18% short of what Biden wanted to hit at 70 of herd immunity, and there's 48%, you know, just a little under half that just basically don't want the shot. So good luck with that. It's going to be – I think it's going to go to the Supreme Court. I don't know what your final take on this is before we move to the Angels.
Well, the fact is that if you want to fly anywhere, especially out of the country, you probably have to be vaccinated, right, once, twice? You have to show proof of being vaccinated.
Right.
If you travel via airplane somewhere, like my sister and brother-in-law that travel from San Marcos to Alabama and Georgia and some other place,
right,
and my other niece traveled around, so they've been doing that for the past month. And my sister would not go anywhere if she wasn't double vaccinated, my sister Cheryl. And so I know she's very careful about all that stuff. So she hadn't seen her grandkids for quite a while. They were supposed to come out to SoCal maybe a half year ago, and they couldn't. But they did come out about a month ago, and then Cheryl and my brother-in-law actually went back there to see her daughter and her kids in Alabama a couple of weeks ago, so because they felt pretty comfortable about things. So, you know, everyone has their own positives and negatives about it, and so it's really, hey, I don't really have an answer to it. I don't even know that the vaccination fully covers me. I mean, people are telling me that, but I don't really know that for sure. That's what other people have told me. So I've been vaccinated twice. Whatever. I didn't put it on Facebook and put a picture of the vaccination card on my post, anything like that. So you know I've been vaccinated twice, and a few other people do. Of course, my sisters and my brother say, hallelujah, you know, they called me hard-headed. Hey, there's a lot of people who haven't been vaccinated. I'm not as bad as they think I am. But I'm usually the last person to do things.
Well, I think everybody has their own reason of doing something, and that's the thing. Hey, let's as we segue into the Angels have been hot. They went over the 500 mark. I had them to win the division. People were laughing, but they got a showdown with the A's now.
Over the Houston Astros and Oakland A's? Wow.
Yeah, they're going to win the division. I like Joe Maddon. He wins everywhere he goes. And I think what the Angels need to do is, you know, if they can get, you know, a frontline starter there, watch out. Here comes the Angels. They got the bats. They're doing it without Trout. Ohtani's the MVP of the league. That's for darn sure. Find me another guy that can throw 100 miles an hour and bang out the home runs he's banging out. Tape measure shots, to say the least. So I like the Angels' chances. And, you know, they go to Oakland now. They can get it even closer. And then they'll whack the Tigers, you know, over the weekend.
Well, you know, they're hitting .250 as a team, the fifth best in Major League Baseball, but their ERA is 4.85, which is 26th best in MLB. There's your problem. As you said, Trout's out. He may not come back till early July for that strained calf, but they are hitting the ball. You know, Tommy's had a great season, but you got to get, like you said, better pitching. I don't know if you want to make some trades or what, but they have to improve in that aspect. Otherwise, they won't win the division with the pitching they have right now. And they always have trouble, seems like, playing in Oakland. But the A's have a good team year in, year out. They just don't keep their players because they don't want to pay them. But Oakland, you know, was winning today over Kansas City. They're a good team. Houston has that swagger, you know, how they are. I think they scored 14 runs today, the Astros. So you can never count them out. But I do like the fact the Angels have been winning and that they're over 500, so they haven't given up and winning without Trout. But once again, they have to improve that pitching, I think, to win a division. I don't think they win a division with their ERA still being like 4.5 or plus at the end of the year. I just don't think you can win giving up that many runs.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to say the least. hey, how about your Lakers? The offseason came early for them. We're going to find out who they're going to pick up. I think Beal will be in there, or Lowry, one of those two. But Schroeder turned down an extension. Gasol, Harrell, I mean, Vogel's sitting on the sidelines. He'll be back next year, but chasing kids waiting in the shadows. Let's talk about your Lakers with about 10 minutes left in the show. Then we'll get over to the Clippers if we have time.
And not a lot to talk about. I'm looking at trade rumors involving Kuzma, KCP, and Harrell for Westbrook, Russell Westbrook at Washington. But Harrell has a player option. But I don't know if I like the 3-for-1. 3-for-1 plus a second-round pick in 2023. Or, you know, also Cleveland is interested in Caruso and THT, Talen Horton-Tucker. The Cleveland Cavaliers are interested in those two guys because I think they have the contracts are coming up or whatever like that. Of course, the number one guy the Lakers would like to get is Bradley Beal, but if they can't get him, they like to go for Westbrook. But the problem with Westbrook, he's a great athlete, he's a driver, but he's not a three-point shooter. He looks good. He plays well against the Lakers, but he cling-clangs in from the perimeter. So he doesn't take care of that problem for them, which is three-point shooting, Westbrook. And not that Kuz has shot 29% against the Suns. KCP and Harrell, you know, are really worth that much. But I don't know about this 3-for-1 deal. So we'll see. Also, they're kind of pursuing maybe Kemba Walker. But he was kind of up and down with Boston. I'm looking at KCP and Kuzma for him. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I'm for trading some of the players, but who are you getting in return? How about Schroeder, Kuzma, and THT for Kemba Walker and Tristan Thompson? Our Schroeder, as you said, wants $24 million. How many times has he turned down the offer from the Lakers, like two or three times? This guy averaged 15 points a game. Remember one game against Phoenix, he was 0-for-9 shooting. He scored 0 points. And the next game he scored 20. So did he really try to play in that one game, or was this kind of like a little – was he playing with the Lakers management head in that particular game? Because two other games when AD was playing well, he scored over 20 points. I'm not really sure about that dude. Do I think he's worth $24 million? No. Heck no, not at all. Do I think he's one of the top 5 point guards in the league? No. Now they could do a sign and trade, sign him and trade him, Schroeder. Or how about Caruso, Kuz, Harrell, or Kemba Walker, whatever. They have possibilities. But
well, the problem is Cleveland, they want Tucker and they want Caruso, but, you know, LeBron's a big fan of Caruso, so Caruso's not going anywhere. I think what you're going to see is, and I like Schroeder a lot, but I think he's on his way out by not signing that extension. I think Kuzma's gone. Gasol is gone. And you better sign Drummond. I mean, that's going to be the key. You need a big man there to protect Davis. So, and then the other one would be interesting. What do you do with Harrell? But I think the big question in Los Angeles moving forward is, did the, you know, Lakers win in spite of Vogel when he won the title last year, or is he a long-term coach? And I'm looking at this guy and I'm saying, if Jason Kidd didn't take the job with Portland that was pretty much offered to him, then it's saying to me that Jason Kidd's going to be the next Lakers head coach.
I like Jason Kidd as the head coach over Vogel because Jason Kidd was a former point guard. He liked to move the ball up and down the court. And the Lakers need to get a little bit younger, and they need to go back and forth and shoot threes a little bit more. Vogel, yeah, they kind of won in spite of him. It was a bubble last year. LeBron and AD were healthy. They played very well, much better than this year. And the other guys came through. KCP averaged 60 points a game in the championship. He got a big contract. Kuzma was better last year. And Rajon Rondo played very well, even though he was hurt half the season. So the question of guys just playing very well last year in the bubble in the championship for the Lakers. Everybody, I say 5 or 6 guys played better last year than this year for the Lakers. And I think, you know, Vogel's more of a defensive coach, not an offensive coach. They need to be more offensive-minded. They have to shoot and get guys that can knock down threes. The NBA is going in that direction. They're playing a 1990 style, you know, trying to pound it into the paint area and throwing out the guys that can't shoot threes. You've got to get 3 points.
Well, that's kind of way the, you know, the Clippers, and I'll tell you right now, I know the Clippers are down 2-1 to the Jazz, but that'll be evened up tomorrow, and they'll start to roll the Jazz out. The Clippers got just too many weapons. They got depth. They got leadership. They got veterans. They got good rookies. I like the Clippers to come out of the West. And I said last year it was going to be the Clippers and Bucks. I think this year it's going to be the Clippers and Bucks. I think when you look at these teams moving forward, I think Denver is just another hype train like Brooklyn. I think, you know, Phoenix is good, but they ran through an old Laker team. And, you know, they're taking out Denver that just hasn't done anything. But I think they'll have their hands full with the Clippers in the next round. And as far as I'm concerned with the Bucks, I think the Bucks are starting to get physical now. They're taking advantage of Brooklyn. And the excuse in Brooklyn now moving forward, if the Bucks take these guys out, which I think in four straight, will be, well, we didn't have our big three and this and that. But let's face it, I think, you know, when you look at Kevin Durant, I think he's overrated. I've said this from the get-go. In Oklahoma City, he couldn't win when he had Westbrook and Harden there. I think he grabbed the coattails in Oakland. And, you know, you saw today when, you know, he had the pressure put on him, he didn't, you know, he kind of succumbed to it. 28 points. I mean, you got to be more of a leader. You got to put up 30-something points. I don't think Kevin Durant is the guy, and I don't think Brooklyn's going to win a title.
Well, he was 9 for 25 shooting today. He had a tough game shooting the other day. They put different guys on him, rotated different players on him, and they've contested a lot of his shots. And I saw him score like 8 straight in the fourth quarter, but the fact is he's not going to beat Milwaukee on his own, especially down the stretch. He's an excellent player, but he needs other good players with him. He's not going to dominate a game on his own, even though he's phenomenal.
Ooh, well, you know, let's face it. This team, they blew the Bucks out by 40-something points pretty much in game two. They had their chances with the Bucks in game three. Now all of a sudden, you know, the Milwaukee's putting the hammer down on them. They're gaining confidence. I know it's a pivotal game five, but the Bucks win that in Brooklyn. It's definitely over in Milwaukee on Thursday. And then we're going to see a Bucks-Philly series. And who knows, the Bucks will probably, you know, go after Embiid like they're going after Durant. Any thought to that as we wind this great show down?
Yeah, he's a slightly different player than Durant. He's more of an inside player, even though he can shoot threes. But Embiid's a better rebounder than Durant, blocks more shots. Kevin's more of a perimeter player. You know, he's a decent defensive player, but Embiid is a better defensive player. He actually shoots closer. They're kind of different players. Just like, who's like Giannis? You don't want Giannis to shoot threes. He made one today, but he's a tremendous driver. I mean, some of the plays he made today, getting by guys, you know, he doesn't get offensive charges either. He's great driving to the basket. And we know he's not a very good free throw shooter, but the fact is, he's going to get 10 to 12 per game, so if he makes half of them, that's a plus. But I can't criticize Giannis because that guy plays 125% every possession. And I saw one play where they stripped him of the ball late in the game. He went down the other end, blocked the shot. Then Milwaukee came down, they threw him the high lob, and he dunked it. I mean, the guy's going back and forth, and they had like a 13-point lead at the time. Nobody plays harder than him. So, I mean, he had 34 points in 38 minutes. Excellent player, but you don't want him on a perimeter. That's not his game. His game's in the paint, blocking shots. Great driver. Nobody's better. He gives you double-doubles every game, and he's been leading. But like I said, Game 5 is so important to Brooklyn and Milwaukee because it's at Brooklyn. I expect the Nets to have a little bit better offense performance in that game.
Well, we're winding this great show down, and I know you got a great guest for your show tomorrow. Tell everybody about it.
Mr. Chris Baker, former writer for the Los Angeles Times. I think he saw or covered like 40 Rose Bowls during his career, during his time in L.A. Also has been to a number of World Series where the Dodgers were in and a lot of other big-time games. He actually grew up in Southern Cal. His late mom went to USC, and he went to Stanford. So a pretty phenomenal guy, had a great career, and we'll talk to him about his journey and mentors and everything tomorrow at 6 o'clock on Markman Madness right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, and how can you be reached, my good friend?
Well, if they want to reach me, they can email me at sportswrapnet@yahoo.com, sportswrapnet at yahoo.com.
Well, and I guess as we wind this thing down, thanks to all the listeners. Remember, next week we won't be on. We'll be back on the 27th, same time, same channel. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, the podcast platforms powered by Mancini Media. So as we wind this thing down, for Mark Heffernan, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying have a blessed week. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.